But in the meantime, let's introduce our reason of why we thought that this was necessary and appropriate.
So we are just coming together to bring all of our viewpoints, our experiences, to give Black women the alternative thinking and just giving them information that we need to survive and thrive.
There are so many things that are avoidable, and through the work that we all do, we come in contact with these ladies, and we've just decided, you know what, enough is enough. We have to share this, these experiences that we have. We have to share this knowledge that we have. We have to go out there and help and save our sisters.
Welcome to another episode of Lead, Teach, and Style. And I am so happy that you joined us for another month of great conversation and great content. And I am your sister, Nora Muhammad.
I'm Shabri Muhammad.
And I'm Nicole Muhammad.
And we are so excited to have another wonderful conversation with you. And, you know, we want to make sure that you are getting content that you need and content that you can use. And so there are conversations that you would like to hear that you have not heard yet on Lead, Teach, and Style. Make sure you send us an email at leadteachstyle@gmail.com. That's leadteachstyle@gmail.com. And make sure you leave us a review and a rating on iTunes or wherever you listen to the podcast. And if you find that Lead, Teach, and Style is not on your favorite podcast streaming app, let us know so that we can get there. And this evening, I'm going to let you take the lead, Shabri. I'm looking forward to this conversation. And this is another one that's especially relevant to our sisters to help them be successful and their families be successful in any endeavor.
Yes. Thank you, Sister Nora. And whatever we decide successful is, we have a lot of business to take care of. Maybe some of us are entrepreneurs. Some of us are, you know, trying to get some business started. Some of us, we work a job, may it be blue collar, white collar, and we have everyday business to take care of. We're mothers, we're wives, we're helpers. And with that comes some deal of professionalism. So this video is going to be mostly about how to stay on top of our game as far as being professional when we go out and try to put our best foot forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that this is especially important because as listeners are going to hear, this is going to apply to every aspect of our lives.
Yes, being a teacher by profession, I deal with a lot of parents. So that's one way that I'm talking about, you know, putting our best foot forward. You know, when we have to be in contact with so many people and we leave our, you know, our email address, our phone numbers or whatever, we have to make sure our modes of contact are in place, whether it's social media, whether it's a phone number. Just to give you a good example, you know, as a teacher, you have maybe 20 students and you have to contact their parents. Now we know when you contact parents, they're at work or whatever they're doing and you get that voicemail. What does the voicemail sound like? You know, you gave this phone number to your child's teacher. You want to make a great impression on the teacher and for your child. So let's be mindful of that when we give out our phone numbers, knowing what kind of voicemail we have on there. Like your voicemail probably should be, you know, short, probably shouldn't have your favorite, you know, Get Down song in the background when you know that a teacher is going to contact you about your child, or if a job is going to contact you for work. You know, you always want to make sure your presentation is packaged very well and your contact information is very, very important. It could be your in-laws, it could be anyone, you know, somebody who's trying to get in touch with you for some serious business. What kind of song do you have playing in the background? If you're one of those kind of people who like to put music to your voicemail, how do you sound? What are you saying? You know, that's very, very important because it gives people an impression of who you are and what you're about. So be mindful about your voicemail. We'll probably talk about social media a lot, because as an employer, I also check the social media of my employees before hire and during, just checking up to see what they think of themselves, you know? And I let them know that I do look, because it's public media, and it just gives me an idea of what they expect me to see. So those are just a couple of things that we want to make sure that we keep to a certain standard. And if I may add, ladies, the contact phone number, you should try and stay consistent with the same number. You know, as a teacher, sometimes we pull that thing out because, you know, it's not often that a child is hurt, but if they bump their head or anything and we have to contact a parent, maybe we're going to close early for a blizzard or something, and we have to contact the parents, those numbers have to stay up to date. And a lot of times you cannot contact a parent because their numbers have been cut off, or they have a number that only works when they're on Wi-Fi or what have you. But that's a very important mode of contact, your phone number, your email address, your voicemail, your social media. So we want to be consistent with those things. A lot of people just have more than one. A lot of people just have more than one. And I know I use one for junk email that, you know, I give out to stores, and some people say you have to put an email address, but I don't want them marketing me. I have a whole separate email for that. And then I use one for business and, you know, more serious matters.
I think, Shabri, this is a very important topic for all of us, you know, and the social media piece in particular. You know, this is something that is, you know, used to be thought of as something for quote unquote young people, right, or the teens. But we know now everybody pretty much is on social media, from the child to the great grandmother is on some form of app or social media application. And we're no longer in the days where our first impression is just when we meet someone physically in person. People are learning about us. People can Google us. They can find us on Facebook, Instagram, all kinds of social media platforms. And we want to make sure that anything that we're doing, anything that we say on these platforms, that we be okay with anybody accessing this information, anybody seeing how we behave on the weekends, at night when our favorite song is on, or what we're, you know, we have certain things, you know, you might be eating and drinking, all these kinds of personal things. It's important to recognize that once it's out there, it is not gone. It will always be there on the internet. Doesn't matter if you've deleted it, there's always a way to extract it for those who choose to do so or have that capacity. So even if we may think, oh, it's not a big deal, I'm not in a quote unquote professional field, I'm not looking for employment, you know, you never know what you're going to be interested in or where your life might take you. And to know that what you put out there is a reflection of yourself. And if it's something that you know, are questionable about, whether you want someone to know or to see you conducting yourself in a certain way, then it's important to rethink that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Sister Nicole, you're absolutely right. You know, our digital footprint, it really doesn't go away. And some folks may say, well, my page is private. Well, that's relative. You know, like you said, there's ways of getting around privacy settings. And some may say, well, it shouldn't matter what I put on my social media. And we can think that, but it does matter, because your social media page is an extension of what you put on your job application. It's an extension of your job interview. And it really shows an employer. It shows your child's school and teacher, just what you think about yourself, what you think about your child, what you think about your family, what you think about your previous employer. You know, one thing I like to know, if I'm hiring someone, what do they have to say about their previous employer? Because that'll give me an indication of what they'll think about me as an employer, specifically during those times where critical feedback is necessary. So to every extent possible, we should always, as women, strive to represent ourselves in the most dignified and self-respecting manner as possible. You know, if you want to party, do it behind your closed doors, tell your friends to put their phones down, and don't go live, and do what it is that you do. However, once you pick up that phone or that device and you're streaming it, then really it's fair game for anybody who's interested in learning more about you, and people can. So it's very important that what image you want represented to your employer, to your child's school, to your pediatrician, which I'm looking forward to talking about, it's very important that we exhibit as much self-discipline and control as possible for that which is going to be seen publicly.
Yes, and speaking of control, you know, there are certain things we have to be very careful not to put out there. You know, now that we're starting this conversation, it's given me more insight to a lot of things. Like, I wasn't even thinking about your child's doctor, you know, the pediatrician, the dentist. But whenever you put your name on anything, anyone, like Nicole said, can Google you. You know, you can just Google and see what comes up. And many pictures from your social media will pop up. And, you know, you might have went to an awesome birthday party, but there were questionable things going on in the background. We have to be very careful about personal information that goes on there too. Remember, you know, we have our children up that people, the public is seeing our children. Be careful, you know, when you're showing, you know, taking pictures outside that you're not in front of your license plate. You know, you're taking a picture outside your house and your address is showing. You know, a young man recently, I think it's been a year now, has it been a year since the rapper who put his address on there was killed in his home? You know, he put his address on social media and someone broke into his home armed. Mm-hmm. And that ended very tragically. And you know, that information came out a lot as discussion because, you know, you would assume people wouldn't do something like that, but are you holding on to something that you may not think is a big deal, but it has your address on it. It has your phone number on it. You know, what school your children go to. You know, I see a lot of parents driving their children to school and they're just putting up a innocent, friendly post of, okay, first day of school, or, you know, we're back to in-person learning or something like that. And they mentioned the name of the school. Those kind of things, we have to be very important to guard against, because we're letting the public, we're making them aware of our whereabouts, the whereabouts of our children. And there are just some creepy people out there that shouldn't have that kind of information.
This brings up a whole nother aspect of it, the safety issue. Mm-hmm. Absolutely true. And thinking about our children, you know, as you said, I see that so often with people posting just regularly everything that's happening with their children, and they do post the locations. So we know not just the city you're in, but we know the school, it's easy to find out the address.
Right.
And you know, as you said, there are some people out here who do not have good intentions. So, you know, we may just be just so excited and just wanting to share this information with our loved ones and what's happening with us. But we do have to be mindful that there are people out there who do not have good intentions and may use that information to harm you or to harm those whom you love, like your children.
That's right. You know, in talking about, you know, women handling our business and maintaining professionalism, this is across all socioeconomic class, because even for someone who might come from a lower socioeconomic or class status, being dignified and being professional, you know, that's just a way to conduct business. And, you know, sometimes we have misguided intentions or misguided insights where we think that just because I work a minimum wage job, you know, means that I can wear sneakers or khakis to a job interview. No, wear a business suit to a job interview that you're going to be paid minimum wage. I often see teenagers who are going to job interviews and dressed in jeans, you know? And so we're talking about a mindset of professionalism, regardless of what kind of business that you're going to handle, whether, you know, you're going to the social service agency, whether you're going to the unemployment agency, whether you're going to handle your own personal business, doctor's appointments. But specifically, I just want to take a moment and talk about going to our children's doctor's appointments. And I had my first son. I'm a new mom, and you know, we're at the first checkup. And even though I was home on maternity leave, I could have dressed comfortably. I wanted to dress comfortably, but I knew better. And for the first many, many visits to the pediatrician's office, I wore business clothes, you know, the same thing that I wore to work, even though, you know, might not have fit like it used to, but I wanted to make sure that I looked like I took myself seriously. I wanted to look like I took my children seriously, and I wanted this doctor to take me seriously, and they did. And just thinking about the idea that you want to project in someone else's mind who is going to be a service provider to you, something as important as a doctor. And, you know, and I did that for quite some time. And then, you know, I did it. My second son came not too long after, and I did it with him too, you know, as I was developing a relationship with the doctor's office. But even for my own appointment, you know, I dress professionally because I know everyone should be treated with freedom, justice, and equality. But we know that people have bias. We know that people have prejudices. And so I wanted to always present myself like a professional, because when you present yourself like a professional, people will more than likely treat you like a professional, you know? And so I've had great success with that. And that's something that I want to share with the sisters and those who love and support their sisters, to help them understand that the portrayal that we give others really does dictate the response and reaction that we get in return.
Yes, that is very important. Thank you for sharing that. So that leads us to a lot of the little things that we need to cover down when we want to be taken seriously. Choosing or meeting your doctor for the first time, you have new children, they're going to be part of, you know, this, your medical, you know, family or community. That is so important that that doctor take you seriously. We're seeing with COVID now that there is a different perception that that leads them to different treatment that doctors give certain patients, you know? So those ones who they take seriously, those ones who look respected, look like there's somebody who loves these people hanging around, you know, they don't want to mess up, you know? But when you come in looking like you're just walked in off the street, or that you're not asking any questions to show that you care about the treatment you're receiving, or that you don't have somebody coming behind you who cares about you, then those doctors are giving limited care to those kind of people. And dressing apart is just one way, but how about the way we act? You know, how about being on time? You know, a lot of times we have a hard time being on time with a lot of things that we do, you know, and it's so important to the perception of the person who's receiving us, you know, no matter who it is. We talked about job interviews, we have talked about doctor's appointments. I know now if you're more than, if you're 15 minutes late or more, you don't even get seen. And a lot of these appointments are difficult to come by. Imagine you took off of work to take your children to the pediatrician and you're 15 minutes late. They don't want to hear it, you know, and then you had to take another day off. So now that's affecting you professionally. So being on time, being dressed for the part, they are so very important amongst other things.
I just want to add how we speak to these providers, that we want care from, you know, and you know, something that's very important is listening and asking questions. And I'll say that even if you go to your doctor and your doctor has really spoke very clearly to you and you understand everything, it's always good just to ask a question. Even if you don't have one, make one up. You know, if they say, well, this medicine is going to be for, you know, the runny nose or the cold, or, you know, just if you, right, if you feel like the doctor has answered all of your questions, and maybe the doctor hasn't, but still ask a question to show in that extra level of interest in what's happening with you. And right, then speak well. When you're going mm-hmm. to the doctor or other offices, and I know we're going to talk about that, speak well. Speak like you're a professional, or speak like you're taking yourself seriously. Mm-hmm. I know that when we're with each other and we feel a little more personal, then we may speak with more slang, more jargon. We might be a little more colloquial, you know, street. That doesn't work when we're trying to handle business. We're talking about being right, professional when we're handling all of our business. If you're getting your driver's license, if you're getting a rewards card at your supermarket, you know, speak in a way that shows that you are about your business.
Right.
These are such important topics, because I think it's sometimes people get very comfortable in a lot of circumstances. And, you know, we're pointing out that this isn't just on a business interview where you're going to look for a job, but anywhere where you're interfacing with other people who are in a position, in a professional position, in their place of employment. I think this doctor's office is a great point to bring up, because, you know, these providers are providing, you know, serious, oftentimes serious medical care for you and for your children. And you want them to know that you take yourself seriously, you take the health and wellness of your children or your loved ones very seriously, and that they don't consciously or unconsciously just kind of, you know, put you to the back burner or not really give you the time and thought that's deserved. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we may think, oh, well, you know, I shouldn't be judged, or people shouldn't judge me just based on what I wear, how I talk. But we have to deal in reality. And that's what people do, especially when we're talking about first impressions. And it's something that happens naturally. You take into account your own frame of reference and what it's been like when you've encountered people that look like the person you're interacting with now. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that you're presenting yourself and speaking. You look healthy, you look well, you look like you take care of yourself.
Right.
And that, you know, you value yourself so that other people will be more likely to value and treat you with the respect that you deserve.
If I could just add one other thing real quick, Shabri. That means do your hair, right? That means wash your face, brush your teeth. And you know, we don't mean to be condescending, but we're talking about real life incidents that we've all witnessed and experienced with our sisters, you know? Yeah, you know, it's been a rough couple days. You still have to do your hair when you come out the house. You still have to wash your face, bathe, wash your face and moisturize. I recall once I had to go to the ER and I said, oh, I got to take a shower. I got to, you know, I have to look like, because I take things very seriously. I take, you know, how I present myself to people very, very seriously. You know, but we have to approach these people looking like we take ourselves very seriously if we want the chance that they're going to take it seriously.
Yes. I've noticed a lot of people preparing now for birth. You know, you look rough when you're giving birth, okay? And that's another instance where you're in contact with a lot of people who have your life in their hands and the life of your, you know, most precious cargo, your babies in their hand. I see we're getting a lot better with that. I see a lot of sisters getting braids because they don't know when they're going to go in, but they know it's coming soon. You know, I think I did that with my last two children, you know, just trying to make sure I'm presentable when that time hits. I don't know when it's going to be. And those are a lot of instances in our personal lives. But what about our professional lives as well? You talked about having your hair done. I cannot tell you how much I look at my employees and, you know, I look them all over, and that's big to me. That's really big to me. So when I want someone to take the lead and I want to give a promotion to someone who may not be a lead, but they have to be represented more to the community and leadership, I'm looking at those ones who are presentable every single day. And how do I want my clients or my customers to perceive me, to perceive our business and the things that we do? You're going to be in the forefront of them. So a manager or a supervisor or owner or whatever, you know, they're looking at you maybe to promote you to the next level. How can we promote those who don't have self-care, who don't take care of themselves, who don't try to be presentable? Because that's the top of the list for many, many people, that their hair is always done, that they're always looking nice. You know, that's probably not, you know, on everyone's level of importance, because some people just want to do a good job. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you though, for leadership, there's a certain amount of presentability that those who put you in leadership are looking for. We cannot present you to the public if you don't like to do your hair in the morning, like Sister Nora pointed out, or if you know, just basic self-care, awareness of how others are perceiving you. And yes, it does matter.
Right, and that you look clean. I mean, we've had some conversations about just coming out and things like bonnets. So it's not, you know, you can't even see your hair because you just have this thing on. You know, your nails are clean. Are they trimmed? Okay, so maybe your clothes are neat and they look clean, but you come in a coat and it's dirty and it's visibly dirty. Your shoes, are they, you know, very scuffed? Are they dirty? Are they one color, but they look another color? Just all of these things, because you're a representation of yourself. And then, you know, in the case that you're talking about, Shabri, you're a representation of your employer if you do have one. You're always representing yourself and someone else. You're representing for the mother that's coming in to represent for your child. So every time you interact with someone, they're looking at you, but you're also a reflection of more than that.
Yes, another piece of professionalism and handling our business is our preparedness, our temperament, our patience, and our language. And our language. I had to say that one twice. You know, if you're going, for example, to your child's school, to your child's doctor's office, to your doctor's office, to the motor vehicle agency, to a social service agency, and to conduct business, make sure that you know in advance what material or items you need to bring with you, right, and have them organized. You know, for a woman to spend, you know, minutes looking through their wallet for an insurance card or an identification, you know that you're going to need it. So have it handy and be prepared. People do not have a lot of time to spend with just one client or one patient, you know. So having what you need on hand, prepared and completed and filled out properly. And if you're asked to fill out another form or take an additional step that you weren't expecting, to maintain decent temperament, to not be short tempered, to not suck your teeth, to not roll your eyes, to not say, why I gotta do this? Well, you do, and so do it. Or, you know, because look, there's barriers to everything that we want. And if you don't wanna complete that form, then you're not gonna move to the next step, right? So getting through the process and understanding that every process is going to require something of us. So having preparedness, being patient, the language that we use, right? Please, thank you, yes ma'am, yes sir, you know, that goes a very, very, very long way for us, because we want, because when we're handling our business, it's because we want something out of it, right? We want a certain outcome. We're looking to meet a goal, no matter how big or small that goal is. So we are the ones that are in the best position to ensure that we reach our goals. And so the people who we're meeting in these offices, or if it's a job interview and you're being interviewed by a prospective employer, you want something from them. And so we have to position ourselves in the best way possible so that we can get what we want.
Yes, you just reminded me of an experience I had. You know, when you're on a job, just your awareness of the public. There's one local chain near where I live that I frequent quite often for business. You know, sometimes where I work, the job needs certain things. Sometimes at home, we need to run out and get some things. And some of the ladies in there, they're just conversing with their coworkers. The content is so personal, though. I know we're just the public. You think we're just coming in there once and we're in and out. You'll never see us again. But the impression that you may leave could, you know, that's why a lot of businesses have the corporate 800 number on there for people to call and complain, or people to call and give, maybe if they had a great experience to share that. I've done that plenty of times because some people have outstanding customer service, but some customer service is horrible. You know, it is horrible. And, you know, this class can kind of, or this video can kind of be like a training, you know, just take these things to heart, because you could turn someone away from a business, or you could be reported and you don't know who's paying attention to you. They, you know, people come in with their children. They don't want to hear store clerks using foul language, you know? And as far as being on a job, and Nora, you mentioned your temperament. One bad emotional day where you lose your cool could cost you everything. I've seen it happen. I've witnessed it. You know, I've done it. You know, I've had great employees who lost their cool one day, but they just ruined everything that they worked so hard for. And we have to maintain a certain amount of professionalism, even if we have to go to a supervisor and say, I need a break. Right. You know, this is something's bothering me, or this happened. Maybe you got some bad information from your email that you checked during lunch, or whatever it is, a text or something that set you off. Maybe you should ask for a break, you know, ask to be excused for the day, or go get some water or something. But that temperament is a big one, because you are representing someone else's business and they think, oh, this is how you are when you get upset. We're going to get upset sometime. You know, you don't want to ruin everything that you worked so hard for because you could not keep your cool, you know, under a stressful situation.
That's a great point. And I just love that too, that we are going to get upset sometimes, but how we handle that upset or that disappointment or frustration, and, you know, taking the ownership of that and how we do that. And that is not necessarily a sign of strength. Sometimes we become physical or to become verbally aggressive and loud, then that's a strong way of being, a strong way to react. Right. And we told them or we showed them, but in the end, what have we gained from that? And Nora, I was just thinking also about the point of patience is another crucial thing, because sometimes we are just going to have to wait. And sometimes it's a lot longer than we want to wait. And just even not necessarily on the job, but, you know, like, you know, being in line at the store, being at motor vehicles, sometimes that could turn into, you know, a long event. But knowing ahead of time that, you know, everything doesn't happen in the time that we want it to, or it's not going to happen because we need to get somewhere in 30 minutes and get a plan accordingly. So to know that we're going to have to be patient sometimes, and if we choose not to, then we always have the option to come back another day or not wait. But it's not for us to become belligerent or you know, become antagonistic to the person who's there doing their job when it's not anything in their control that they can do to make things go along the way that we want them to.
Right. I think that many of us have had some very poor customer service in our time. However, I know depending on the significance of what I'm there for, I will swallow it and I will think a whole lot of thoughts, but I will maintain my discipline and my decorum and my decency because I need a desired outcome here. And what I need is greater than the knucklehead, the jerk, you know, the whatever, you know, person that is standing in front of me. And sometimes it is unpleasant. And I'm not saying that it's easy, right? But it's necessary. And like you said, Nicole, you know, sometimes people think that's a show of strength that they told them, right? And you didn't get what you needed. They called security, they put you out, where, you know, I've shown, in my opinion, great strength, just holding my tongue, biting my tongue, and possibly waiting my time out and getting to the manager and explaining to the manager how I was treated in such an unjust way. I recall being in a certain retail store and I thought, okay, this, I only have an item or two. I'll go to the express lane. This should be quick. However, before the customer service rep can check me out, she has to check her Facebook, take a sip of her can of Pepsi and a bite of her Hershey almond bar. And I just think that's awful. You know, I'm not coming back here again. You know? Right. Just the inconsideration, you know, I mean, because obviously if I'm there to check out, then you know, I'm right there. It's not like you can't see me. So then we decided to take our business elsewhere. Another area that we have to be very sensitive to how we represent ourselves is court. Is traffic court, family court, criminal court. We have to think about what the judge is seeing, any preconceived notions the judge may have about people like me. So, you know, any decent criminal defense attorney or any advocate will encourage you to go to court dressed business or business casual, you know, use language, yes, Your Honor, no, Your Honor, to stand when you're supposed to stand, to sit up straight, not slouch in our chair, to speak clearly and not mumble. You know, when we're in court, either we're trying to get fines reduced, we could be trying to keep our children in our home, we could be trying to advocate for our children because of some juvenile complaint, or we're there because of a criminal complaint, or it could be a civil case. You know, that's serious business. And there's a lot of time and money and our own personal freedoms involved. So especially when we're in court, to take something like that seriously and prepare. And if you need help preparing, if you feel like you don't have even the attire for court, there are services that can support you. You could have family members that you may need to borrow some clothes from, some shoes from, to help you be prepared. Childcare, you don't want to miss court because you know you have to eat. So do what you can so that you can be successful to achieve whatever goals you have. Because we can lose a lot in court. Things can go very bad if we go there with a bad attitude. And for the most part, if we're in court, we don't want to be there. It's unfortunate. Either in a civil case, we are the victim or we're suing, right? We're the complainant. But either way, it can be a very stressful time. And that's an area that we want to be as professional as possible.
Yes, and most places have an area to some kind of grievance procedure or a way to air your criticisms. If you think you've been mistreated, you know, like I said, usually there's an 800 number somewhere, or you ask to speak to a manager, ask for a corporate phone number, Google it even. There's a way to voice your ability to your freedom of speech, you know, if you think you've been wronged. It's not always negative, doesn't always have to be negative, but there's usually a way for you to voice what you have to say in a business or how you were treated. And I would say that's the best route, you know, because you could make a bad situation worse. And when you're not the problem, they're the problem, you know, you don't want to make it your problem. Because we see so many times, you know, police are called and they turn it on the customer because the business people or the employee, they're supposed to be there. They're supposed to be there. So when someone else comes on, that person usually is looked at as the troublemaker. So, you know, find those things out if you are having a problem, you think you're not being hurt or you think you're being mistreated. Just don't lose your cool, make it worse than it is. It won't be worth it in the end when there is a way. And you know what? Everyone is usually privy to the way to handle it. Just ask. Just ask. You know, well, I have a problem. May I speak to your supervisor? May I have a phone number for corporate? Get the store number. Every store has a store number in the business to locate them. Ask the person who gave you customer service what their name is. They have to give this type of information. So there's always a better way to handle things. However, in this video, we're trying to prevent those things from happening. We try to be very preventive in a lot of, you know, issues we find ourselves in. However, there are always ways to take care of and handle our business.
And along those lines too, just a quick note for when we are, you know, interacting out there in the world, that we also, you know, don't focus on the negative always also. When there's mm-hmm. exceptional customer service or someone's really treated us well, also go and inform the supervisor or let the, you know, corporate know of, you know, the wonderful employee that you had the pleasure of interacting with. Because that positivity and, you know, positive feedback can go a long way.
Yeah. So we've hoped that this episode of Lead Teaching Style has really given you some insights in ways we can be successful with handling our business, all kinds of business, whether we're their employee, whether we're the employer, if we're handling business for our family and for ourselves. We really encourage each and every one of you to reconsider. Think about, reflect on some challenges that you may have had and think about some successes. You can say, oh yeah, I did that. Yeah, I did exactly what Shabri said and I'm glad that I did. So, you know, we want to be a resource and we are a resource for you and we want to continue providing great content. So like I said earlier, if there's something that you would like to hear discussed on Lead Teaching Style, send us an email at leadteachstyle@gmail.com. Ladies, anything else you'd like to share?
You know what? One thing I wanted to add, because this is the first time I've ever done it, but leave a review. You know, people look at reviews to see what other experiences people have had, you know, to get a good idea, a rating. A lot of businesses want you to rate with stars of how your treatment was or what you think about their facility. And I was recently done very wrong. And as I was walking in to handle that, I was thinking, man, I've never left a review, but if they do not make this right for me, I'm going to leave several horrible reviews because what happened to me was terrible. And they made it right, you know? And so I went on there and on their website, and I did leave a review saying that I had an issue, but they were right on top of it. They took care of it. And I would recommend that business to others.
It's been a pleasure again, ladies. And I just welcome the audience to also just share some thoughts, some feedback that you have, something that's been helpful, something that, you know, maybe gave you a new thought or a way to think about how you think of things and how you approach things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you again for joining us. Make sure you follow Lead, Teach, and Style on Instagram and Facebook. Like and share and let others know about the show. We look forward to next time. Until next time, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Lead, Teach, and Style. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Lead, Teach, Style. You can email your questions and comments to leadteachstyle@gmail.com and subscribe to the Lead, Teach, and Style YouTube page. You can find links to all in today's show notes. And don't forget to drop us a rating and review on iTunes.